Yeah, okay.
So we are holding over here in Mishalach. We are holding in the Ibn Ezra. It says, Vaydavar Shem Moshe Leimor, Vaydavar. Miderech HaChachma, he says, Miderech HaEmes, Ein Roy Lemaska Lachshav Ma'as Hashem Lamasakeim. In other words, we don't have the question of why Hashem did something in a certain way is not a question that is appropriate. Ki kol ma'isa v'chachma, v'chachma zodim kai negdei. Because everything Hashem does with chachma and human chachma is nothing connected. I want to just explain a little more essentially this point. One of the great fallacies of how we perceive ourselves is we perceive our mind and understanding as an absolute. Logic is logic is logic. That's the way things are. And everything that makes sense makes sense. And if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. We are willing to agree that there are people that can calculate more quickly than we can, and people that can come up with more alternatives and so on, but the idea that something that makes no sense is meaningless and that's absolute is sort of hardwired into our brains because we make decisions by our brains. But so when we question HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say that our question in itself, if the question can be answered, then it's just a way of understanding Dark Hashem and it's appropriate, we should do it. But to ask it as a question and to leave it as a pircha can't be. And he brings a raya. Viskarati said, Bavur shatira bizua pasha shatziva shem sheshuva charanis derech arma deshetze para vidavachem vitra vayam machshav shem mukos. As I was looking at this event as it was unfolding, the person would say it is absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. You want to leave Mitzrayim, go as far as you can, as quick as you can. To go back and put yourself into an ambush situation is something that makes no sense, and it's true. Akash Baruch had a much deeper and more far-reaching plan, and that's what happened. Okay, no, it's the next page on the second side. Yeah. Next is Ibn Ezra, also where he explains about why it is that the Klal Yisrael was not allowed to do war, they weren't holding by doing Mochama. Moshe told everyone, Al Tiro, don't be scared, stand by and watch Yeshua Hashem. So the Ibn Ezra explains, Ke'atem loitasu Mochama. You're not going to wage war. Rak Tiras Yeshua Hashem, Asher Ashkem Hayom. You're just going to see Yeshua Hashem. So the Ibn Ezra is bothered, Yeshua Tmoya. The Klal Yisrael was 600,000 able-bodied men. Why were they so petrified? Why didn't they put up in resistance? And why didn't they fight? Hatshuva, the answer is, the Mitzrim were masters of Klal Yisrael. And the generation that left Mitzrayim, they were used to lying low. Their coping mechanism, which is Mitzrayim, was not to make waves. How could he now psychologically fight with his masters? Voyisrol near Dofim, near Pim, Venom Lurucham, because it was weak and they were not used to Muhammad. Halitiri says, take a look. Kamolik Baba Amur. Amalek wasn't large. The Lulit fills Moshe Chodesh Yisrael. If not Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, he would have weakened Klal Yisrael. Hashem levarash hazik dolos v'lunis kar leisof sivev shemezik hom yetzim Mitzrayim ascharim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu who unfolds his plots and directs things had it that the entire generation of Mitzrayim would die out. Ki ein koyach b'm lelochem b'knayim because they didn't have the stamina to fight knayim. Ad shekom dora chadora midbosh leiro golos. So the next generation came. So the Ibn Ezra here is a Pelig Ibn Ezra. And Ibn Ezra explains, and the truth is we saw it in the Rambam at the beginning of this Pasha, Mo'nevuchim. A, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not change the psyche of a people. He doesn't interfere with the nefesh of a people, because that's part of their bechir, they're working it out. It is in the nefesh of a people that if you've been conditioned not to respond and to suffer, that's how you'll keep doing. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Kaisel to do, and he would help them, so he waited for a new generation to arise. I want to sort of apply this to something, a little bit of a delicate application. The modern Zionist movement made that claim against the Jews in Europe, that they were so used to being to being oppressed and to being to suffering in silence and kind of surviving by slipping through the cracks and bribing, that they did not have stamina and fight to stand up and fight. There was truth in that. My father's son Bracha lived in Europe, and he told me that he remembers a few American boys that came to learn a Slavotki Yeshiva, where he learned. And one of the chidushim of the Americans was that when the Shkotzim started throwing rocks, so the European boys would run away, the East European boys, the Americans would roll up their sleeves and they would start fighting with them, which was something that was unheard of. Yes, it's a tchuna, it's an unfortunate byproduct of living like that. I want to, however, add a second half to it. The tchuna of lying low is also a great survival tactic. By when the Romans conquered Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan surrendered because it's wonderful to die in battle bravely, but to be annihilated in battle, even if the books will write wrong things about you, you still are annihilated. To live another day to survive, if that's important to you, is very important. And the flip side of it is a generation that didn't learn survival by sort of lying very low, even when your honor is trampled on the ground, but at the end of the day, you know, you don't remain, is the other side of it. That you need to talk less and less brashly, and keep a low profile sometimes, and not get everything you want. That's part of life. The idea that you should keep fighting for everything and getting what you want and how you want is not great either. And it's something that is also burnt to the psyche of a nation that got their way by pushing against the tide. So A, they're not, both of them have advantages and disadvantages. Also, but one thing it does is HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to continue Nisim that are pure Nisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that Kaisel should be doing Hishtadlus, especially at Yisrael, where they're supposed to work the land and so on. And the conquest of Yisrael had to be through a Jewish army that will have the Shatter Shmaya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the way it's supposed to go about. Yes.
Rabbi, I mean, is there any bechira here, or is this that they didn't change their psyche, or that they can't change their psyche? In other words, Hashem wiped, you know, made that door die in the Midbar because they weren't able to. They had Abdus as part of their psyche. Is that sort of, that's the way they were, and there's nothing that could have been done about that?
Nothing. Rambam Mor Devuchim says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do many, many nisim. The one thing he won't do is to change a person, because that's defeating the purpose of Avoda. The Metzius of the Avoda is that the person himself do what's right. So you're sort of defeating the very purpose of Avoda.
So I guess what I'm asking is, could the people have changed and they didn't, and therefore Hashem made them die?
I don't think so. I don't think, it's just that the door, that door was not capable of leaving Mitzrayim. They didn't have what of going to Yisrael. They were capable of leaving Mitzrayim, but not the door. I don't think that it's not mashmah as if he's faulting them. It's just telling you reality. It's just like somebody who's not capable of teaching is not a Rebbe, and it's not going to be faulted for it, but that's just Mitzias. I think that's what it means. I don't think it's okay. The next one is a piece on Rabbeinu Bechaya, and it deals with the famous Chazal about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Masna Tnai in Sheh Shemei Precious, about the Kriyas Yam Suf. We'll see what that means. The Medrash, it says, Vayit Moshe Asher Al Yam, Vayasha Vayam, Vayispoika Lei Sonoi. The word Lei Sonoi means to its original strength. And Chazal Darshan, Tnai Hisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mayam Sheikarav Neyisrael. There was a Tnai built into the Bria. Amar of Leza, not only with the Yam, but everything in Maisa Bracious. Ani Yodei Notu Shemayim Chol Tzvom Tzivisi Tzivisi Hashem Shreich Shem Lefei Yeshua Tzivisi Shem Vashi Yishtukotei Moshe, and so on. So all the Nisim that happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already been mitzaved them. Ad kam medrash Pirkei Avos. That's Pirkei Avos, which is a very early medrash, the Kabbalistic medrash, the Chasam medrash. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, HaMedrash Zeh Mochiach Shekol HaNisim Raflos Hashem Yisbarach HaDosim Viyim Kvar Chutzmu B'Sheish Mebeishah B'Tiv Adon Shifu. All the Nisim Raflos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, it was already built into the Tevar Yam. Kigoyim Shetayim Av Yashenish Nidbal Hayam. On Monday, when they set the Yam aside, Husam B'Teva Mayim She'Kar Lefnei Moshe Hayam V'Fishu Hayadin V'Chen L'Yoha Nov Elisha. So already was built in that there would be Kriyas Yam by Moshe, by Yeshua, and L'Yoha Nov. Wednesday, when the Shemesh was created, the Teva was that it would move for Yeshua. According to that, there was no shini in teva. He called on nisim va'oises va'moisim shenasu achakein akol husam v'teva kvar va'minach shenasu v'ron oise v'briach hadosh v'na teva. So all the things that we saw that had been all the nisim were already built in and therefore was not a shini in teva. He also brings the Chazal that it says so far never been Ashmoshes, it includes many of the Nisim. So he says, you know, Sichas Piaret, Pia Be'er, Royalist Oire, what about why are these things created in Ashmoshes? Ushar Anisim Kulu Husmu B'Tiva Advon Shashim Akraimim. So these things were done Ben Ashmoshes. It's as if Nisim were built into Bria Ben Ashmoshes, whereas before we learned in the very day of their creation there was some Nes. From Sheshmei Bereishis there's no new Shini Teva. When it was created, it was built into its Teva. Ki ha-teva ha-yotzim and ha-chofetz ha-kadman yikro b'riyo t'nai. Because the nature that comes, the teva that comes out of the original rotzim, that is called b'riyo and t'nai. V'hu etzal ha-chofetz ha-kadman teva l'in roim shini teva. It is a teva for those who see it, and a shini, it's a shini teva for those who see it, and teva kadosh baruch hu. And he says when the time comes to change that nature, there's no shin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but just a shin to the people. I want to try to explore this idea a little bit. This is something that is said over in different ways, and let's explore the different possibilities. The Medrash says, the Chazal say, that Tnai Hisna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Tnai with Maisa Bereishis. Some people understand this Chazal as if, I guess the best muscle is there's a timer or there's a clock, and it's sort of when it reached a certain day, a few thousand years of Bris Olam, the seas were meant to have split no matter what. And just so happens that Moshe Rabbeinu walked in at the right time. It's quite hard to understand it that way. That's what it means. the second side, the second understanding is that we're not talking about as if it would have happened automatically, but something very different. It means the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, the question with Nisim is the following. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the ocean to behave like an ocean behaves, and one day decides, you know, it would be nice to split it for Klal Yisrael, is that not a shinui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzo? Isn't that telling me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzo is not permanent, not eternal, not consistent? Sometimes he decides, he changes his mind, which is something that's impossible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet that's what it appears. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the yam to be nice, that's why he made it teva, and then one day he decides, you know what, it would be nice to split it. So that's the question, on which he answers that it's a t'nai hisna b'maisa b'reisha, that it sort of had been there already before. If that's the question, that's the answer, it's hard to understand it, because basically we're speaking about something that doesn't exist, and we answer it doesn't exist. We're saying, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have put, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to change his mind, and we say, no, he didn't change his mind because he knew then that there already would be something that would happen, and that's what he wanted. You know, we answer X with Y. We're saying, well, we note that there seems to be a change in HaKadosh's mind, and we say, no, he had it in mind all the time. If we don't see any of it, it doesn't really mean anything, and it's very, very strange. So I'd like to offer another pshat kind of in the middle. I don't know if it fits in 100% of Rabbeinu Bechaya's words, but in the Chazal itself, and possibly in the in Rabbeinu Bechaya, it would maybe make sense. The approach is the Maharal's approach. And he speaks about it, for instance, the beginning of Gvuras in his Akdamas. Let's pick a Chazal that he speaks about. It says that the sun stood still for Yeshua. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara whether it's 12 hours, 25 hours, or 36 hours. Now, the Maharal's bothered. What kind of machlokes is that? I mean, it's like one of those how many angels dance on the head of a pin. Like, what's the point of it? I mean, however time it took, in the text, there's no real echreach, doesn't make a difference. It seems like some kind of idle speculation, meaningless. It's a nace. A nace is a nace is a nace. And, you know, let's just leave a nace at a nace. It's like, you know, certain things one researches, certain things one doesn't research. Well, what's the point of, was it like this or was it like that? Whenever we have a nace, that we face, to be choikev a derish in the nace itself seems to be kind of silly. There's an old Yiddish kind of joke story that somebody, one chassid, was speaking about his rebbe, very awed, and he said, my rebbe stands on a chair and he can look around the entire world and see what's happening around the world. So someone asked him, well, why does he have to stand on the chair to do that? If he can make such a miracle. And he said, well, it's important to make the miracle as small as possible. So he adds a bit of height to himself by standing on the chair. It seems silly. It's like a very different miracle is a miracle, and that's it. It's a yotzim in a klal. It's the exception. So Morel has the following understanding. He says, it's a mistake. We think of a miracle in the following way. We think of a miracle as nature has rhyme and reason to it. It has a pattern. It has laws that govern it. It has cause and effect. It's seen as something that has that type of mahalach to it. And a miracle is something that, boom, explodes it and just it throws in a whim. It says, no, it's a mistake. There is a seder of nisim, meaning there's a ruchnistic world. Just like in this world, if you put 2 pounds of pressure on this material, it will snap. And if you take wood and you bring it to a certain heat, it will burst into flames. There's another dimension where if a person says Krishna, flames cool down. And if you daven well, rain comes, and so on and so forth. It's a different world with its own rhythm and its own sense. The kol drachava mishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mishpatim, mean that they have rhyme and reason to it. Schar and onish is built on a concept of a structured entity with formulas and so on. When a nes happens, what happens is that this world bends to another world. So Klal Yisrael is being chased by Mitzrayim. The reality is water, Mitzrayim are Mitzrayim, and that's that. A nes means, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings into play an entire different set of circumstances, haftacha to the avos, the zakas of Yisrael, the rishis of Mitzrayim, and then we get Kriyas Yamsuf and so on and so forth. And that's how the Maharal understands, that's why he says there's a machlokas, how many hours did the sun stand, because it's a machlokas really, he explains each sheet to the 12 hour, 24 hour, 36 hours, what it's about. Nisim can be understood meaning it's got a pattern, formulas, and structure. Very different than the formula and pattern and structure of our world, but still a formula and a pattern and structure. So we can't understand why, if this and this is the Inyan mitzad nes, how could that happen physically? That's something that we don't understand, but we do understand that the nes itself lasted a certain amount of time, happened a certain way, was done by a certain agent, and so on. So I think, and again, I don't know if this is Rabbeinu Bechai in its fullest sense. I don't know if this is exactly what he means, but I would like to understand it as sort of along this mahalach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world of Teva. The problem is, the Chazanish says that Teva, nature, is the Ratzon of Hashem that is the ongoing permanent Ratzon of Hashem. What Teva is that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wishes to be the permanent nature of the world. So anytime that's disrupted, in a certain sense, we're saying nature is not permanent. Nature is not kavua, and that's the chisaron. And the answer is no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he had to configure the relationships of the two worlds to each other, the world of nes to the world of teva, or let's call it teva nes and teva teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that one would give way before the other. So that's built into Teva, that it would give way for the Teva of Nes. One more thing, the Sfasemis says, a very famous Sfasemis of Erech Yisharim, that Pesach night is called Leil HaSeder, and the Makas are lined up, the Tzach HaDash Bachav, and the Sfarim Dash, the Malbim especially, how the structure of the Tzach HaDash Bachav, it's like a crossword puzzle with many different ways. You can go 333, you can go the first, the third, the first, the fourth, the sixth, the eighth, the seventh, all sorts of ways in which you can structure it and show patterns. So even though Leil Pesach is the night when we deal with extraordinary nisim, still, what we're doing is we're trying to get a sense of the structure of the nes. I want to add one more point to this. I'm spending most on the topic already. Why is it important to have it that way? What does it add? What does this vocabulary add to the understanding? So let's understand as following. When somebody acts with a formula, a pattern, some clear rules of cause and effect, I see that as chachma. Chachma is defined as something that has an overall logical structure to it. That's how we define chachma. A person who acts on whim is seen as being pchos erech. Even a brilliant businessman who doesn't really understand why it is that he's decided now to invest and now he pulls out of the market, he just comes and says, you know, I have a smell of the market. I don't like what I'm smelling. I'm getting out. We might say that his instincts are phenomenal. We might even invest with him because we trust his instincts. But we would not see him as a chacham. We would not see him as a ish hamale. He happens to have a particular good nose for it. He's very good intuitive sense. Intuitive sense is not the person, but rather an attribute of person. Masha'enkein das means I act within a structure. I understand the structure of different things, and comprehending the structure, that's how I act. The world of Nisim, if the world of Nisim were to be whims of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, you know what, you got to do this, or in any form, shape, or sense, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's act is seen as the result of a particular momentary need or momentary will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is faulty be'etzim. Things that are of temporary nature, A, don't associate with the godly, and B, even for people, that's kind of a ad hoc. Anyone who makes a plan and needs a lot of ad hoc solutions, we say the plan is not the chachma, even if the person manages to do the ad hoc solutions. The world of the neis, the world of beyond the teva, were it to be simply seen as Ratzon Hashem, which would translate in English as whims, yes, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, I'm sure it's the right thing to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals through Chachma, and our perception of everything is through Chachma, and our perception of things that don't have Chachma is that they are inferior, rightfully so. So the world of Nisim is also a world that has patterns. It has cause and effect. I can track it. I can understand it. I can learn about it. I may not be able to translate into the language of this world, but that's fine. It's not meant to translate into the language of this world. It's meant to stay as something in another world. It's just like when I deal with X's and Y's and Z's, or just like, you know, you have geometries. You have at least three geometries that I know of. You have two non-Euclidean geometries that we were taught in school. And what we learned was they are internally consistent, and they flesh out an entire geometry. You can't transpose one to the other. You can't, on a Euclidean surface, you can't impose a different type of geometry. It's not going to work. And you can't translate one to the other. You can't take a globe and flatten it on a flat piece of paper, and get accurate geometries and so on. But each one, its own world, is consistent, and it's the chachma. It has a pattern, and it follows it. That's how we look at the world of neis and the world of teva, val teva. Both have patterns. Both have chachma, and because of that, both are very, very permanent. The lashon Tanai Hishna Kadosh Baruch Hu is a very interesting word. The Gemara, in a huge halachic discussions, the Gemara uses a legal term of Tanai Milsachrita, which is as follows. If I come along to you and I say, I am selling you this car on the condition that, that condition requires a certain legal language and structure to be valid. So let's say I didn't do it that way, so it's not valid. And the sale remains as a sale without those conditions. And somebody will scratch it and say, but I only wanted to sell it if this is met. And the Gemara says, Tnai Mos Achrita means as follows. We look at every legal contract that has a condition in it. We look at the legal contract as being one layer, valid on its own. I am selling you this house. And then there's a second layer. It's sort of a contract on that condition. I am now imposing conditions on it. If this happens, then it's valid. If not, not. If I don't do the condition right, the condition dissipates. It kind of is not effective. And then we're left just with the sale itself. Before anybody does anything radical, there are many, there are exceptions. It's not, I'm giving you a very simplified version of the fundamental halacha. Tonight, so much reason is like that. A Kadosh Baruch Hu did not break nature. Kadosh Baruch Hu did not change nature. Nature did not show itself to be temporary. Rather, a Kadosh Baruch Hu overrode nature with something else. Okay.